And you are listening to another episode of Pokemon's Health. I am your host, Roy Flash Gordon, and thanks for joining me again. This week's episode is featuring a guest who is, we call it another Keeping It in the Family episode. His name is Jaquil Johnson. He's my younger cousin, and this is the guy who I would, a video game would release, and we'd stay up for 3 days playing it young men and teenagers into my college years. And just I don't think my relationship with video games would be what it is without the presence of this man. And just we have a fun little conversation. He's more on the casual side of Pokemon fandom, but had some really fun things to share about his time with Pokemon, his time with video games in general, and of course some fun answers to some questions around his kind of experience growing up and learning how to be the man he is today. So fun one with my cousin Jack. Here it is. And gamers, trainers, Pokemon, we are here with a very special guest. You guys know we do it family style here. I've had one of my younger cousins on before, Trey. He's always on the stream. I've got another one, and this one's even more special, just for the fact that if it wasn't for this guy, I probably wouldn't be so deep into gaming. This is my cousin Jaquil Johnson. Jack, how you doing, dude?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Hey, man, it's so good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you since that one time in the Denny's diner a little bit ago. It's been a minute.
Yeah, man, that was like, I want to say that was at least 2022, which is crazy because that's already 2 years ago. Time is a man-made concept, and I don't understand how it works, but hey.
Hey, man, we just flow through it. It goes forward. We just got to keep going with it.
Yes, sir.
And so I don't know if you listened to the pod before, but we're talking a little bit about mental health journeys, a little bit about masculinity. But first, just a little introduction of who you are. Just how old are you? What do you do for a living, and where are you from?
I am 30 years young. I am from the suburb of Oak Park, right in the Chicagoland area. I am a junior graphic designer for a life insurance company, and I handle a lot of the graphic design marketing and social media marketing graphics, and I assist the director of that insurance company, and yeah, that's a little bit of what I do.
Sweet. Very cool. Very cool. Do you still do the airport gig at all? You all down there?
Well, I am all done there.
Wow. End of an era.
Yeah, that was 7 years. So from 23 to right before I turned 30, got out of there. So
that's what's up. Yeah. That's what's up. So next bit, how did you get into Pokemon, and how do you currently engage with the Pokemon community?
So Pokemon for me, I remember I got a copy of Pokemon Yellow for my Game Boy Color, and from there, I've been really synonymous with it. For me, it was like probably I would say, like, whether people realize it or not, I think as you get older as a gamer, you realize that that's a lot of people's first RPG experiences, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, Yellow was always my go-to because it was more unique than Red or Blue. And, you know, you had Pikachu. Just like an anime with Ash, and you know, it was just cool to go through and experience that. And now I've just started to get back into it. I fell out of the series for a little bit after Sun and Moon, but I think that was because, you know, around that time, I think they were still trying to figure out how to change up the formula. And you know, we had the Alolan forms and whatnot. And then we got the X and Y and how it is on a Switch with Mega Evolutions and going from there, and the Dynamax Evolutions. But, you know, I think they're trying to take some approaches to really reinvent the formula. So I'm giving it another chance after a good 5-6 years away from it.
Hey, man, that's what's up. I had a little time away from it myself. I think it was between... honestly, I think I've stopped between Silver and Emerald, and I picked up Emerald right before Gen 4 came out. And then, you know, me and you played the hell out of Gen 4. That was crazy times. Yes, so goated. Super fun. And I remember though when you got Pokemon Yellow, because I got it soon after you, for a birthday. And it might have been, I don't know if it was combo between your grandma and Aunt Janet, but somehow they got me a new Game Boy Color and Pokemon Yellow, and we had got it right around the same time. And you knew about it, and you were being insufferable about the surprise. I remember that like it was yesterday. Good times, man. Good times. And yeah, I think a lot of us have had some time where we step away from the community and then come on back to it. Especially like I'm learning with a lot of guys who have been doing competitive for years, like especially when you're, deep in it, and maybe experiencing challenges with finding success and whatnot. It seems to be fairly common to step away for some reason or another.
Absolutely, absolutely. I feel like just the way it's evolved, especially competitively, because before then, even when, at the peak of when it started to come around for Diamond and Pearl, you would have to go on forums to really get into those tournaments. And the way
Yeah.
that it's evolved since then is insane to me, because
It's
it's like,
so
oh,
crazy.
a whole bunch of people getting on boards and forums, and now seeing it evolve into the competitive scene and the developers actually making specific tweaks to the gameplay to get it to that level is insane, but it's really cool to see.
So cool. Yeah, dude, the OG Smogon forums, they're still a thing. I do not play Smogon anymore. I just play it like to hop on the ladder. It seems like it's like hella drama these days. Or maybe it was always like that, and I just didn't know because we all had to play like that. That was the only way to get games with people, organized in any sort of way, was on the forums or whatnot. So, hey guys, if you weren't around for that, it was a totally different day for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, team. Let's go ahead and get on to next question. And what we're looking at is first question, just around this idea of masculinity. And from that, I just want to just raw from your experience, without any judgment here, what, in your opinion, is a man, quote unquote, supposed to be?
Well, for me personally, it's always been someone who can be seen as a leader. Someone who is a man is someone who is able to provide when needed, someone who can be reliable, trusted, strong in tough moments, being able to overall just provide and be a beacon for people. And that's how I've always seen it growing up.
I think that is super, super healthy. What do you think in your life kind of led you to that conclusion?
Well, for me personally, as you know, I didn't really have a father in my life, and I think you and me were such very fortunate to grow up around a family that's mostly women and that they are strong. And I think for me personally, that made me feel like there was an onus on me to really, provide that for myself. Because, one, being a black male and not having a father is extremely hard, because you're not sure how you're supposed to become a man without having an actual, male figure to show you those steps. So for me, I wanted to, with the guidance I've gotten from my mom and my grandmother, but also what I've seen in examples, whether that be from you being an older cousin and what I've seen on TV and, other people, that's how I kind of cultivated my way of, being a man for myself and how I want to not only present myself to others going forward as I get older, but, just in general.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I think that's a really great place, a great source. I think media gets a bad rap, and it deservingly so, but there are still like some good examples of how you get to be, good things that you can pull from. And I think that you said a very key thing, and that was that you did it, you came up with that idea yourself from those things, contribution from things that you saw in the media, but also contributions you've seen from your parent, your parental figures, your mother and your grandmother. And I know that I personally got a lot of the same stuff. And another thing I wanted to criticize, just in general, was like how people might be like, "Oh, a family of women can't raise boys, like they'll
Oh
be
yeah.
soft, blah blah blah." I'm like, "Yeah, right."
Yeah, no, it's honestly bullshit. Can I swear?
Yeah, you can swear.
Yeah, no fucking bullshit. Like, seriously, there's this common misconception that women aren't able to raise men. And from what I've seen from you, our younger cousin Trey, we're all doing things, and I think we've all grown up to be, really good men in our lives. And I think that's something to be said, that we had a foundation laid by the women in our lives. And I think that's something that will, always, like, that's something that, unless you're in that situation, I don't think people are ever going to understand. And it's always going to be perceived like, oh, women are like feminine. So that's not possible. And I think it's just a it's honestly misjudged and, not really thought about.
Totally. I do. I think to myself, this is not in criticism to my father or his children or anything like that. That outside of me, but like grateful that I did not have a father in the home, and that it would have been great too at the time, sure, but that I feel like I'd be more like toxic if I did. Like it's almost good that I didn't, and I had this nice balanced upbringing of these compassionate women who are also hard asses, enough so that I also learned how to be very strong and tough too, and I didn't need that. And I had some great positive influences, around me, of male role models as well. And it's just all a great, compilation of qualities to kind of find what I defined as manhood.
Oh yeah, definitely. In that way, and I think this is the great thing about it, it's like it's a melding of the minds, and you're seeing perspectives and many different ways, and it causes you to think outside of what you were previously thinking. And while you may not adopt that same thinking, at least you're allowing yourself to really, take in not all those values, but a mixing of them, and together to form your own like perception of what, how your manhood is brought up, especially in a situation like you and me were in.
Yeah, man. I wanted to say to you that I really, of course, proud of you, but really respect you and how you've always just been yourself. You just always be yourself, and especially with me as the antagonizing older cousin at times.
Yeah.
You just keep being you, and I've always appreciated that about you, man.
Oh yeah, no, I try. I mean, I want to say when I got to I want to say when I turned, I want to say 23, 24, I kind of said, you know what? This is who I am. I feel like I know who I am. And going forward, I said, this is me. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how we do it. Awesome, dude. Have you ever had any moments where you didn't feel like you lived up to the standard of being a quote unquote real man? So that could be like, standard that society wanted to put on you, that you felt a certain way about at a time, or just by the definition that you have for yourself, was there ever a time where you were just like, I'm not living up to this, and it made you feel less than?
I would say a lot of that would have probably came in the form of going into high school, because those are probably like the prime years where you start starting to discover yourself and starting to be in tune with yourself. And for me personally, like, I'm a very emotional person. That is something that I've, wholly accepted. And I know there's this, men are not supposed to be emotional, and you gotta hold it all in.
Yeah.
But no, it was a very contentious for me, because there was always this pushed idea that I always have to be strong, and I can't show emotion. I can't show, if you're showing sympathy or compassion, you're showing weakness, or if you're showing
Yeah.
anything like that. And it was hard for me. So I had to kind of be this, like, I was trying to initially, when I was in high school, trying to be this hard, cold-blooded person, and that's not who I am. And I, with that, it was hard for me to really just meld that in. And it made me feel like, oh man, am I is it worth for me to like continue to be, this individual that's, kind and, that isn't afraid to like show his emotions, or, become this persona that wasn't me. And I think when you're in high school, you get worried about what everyone else thinks of you.
Yeah.
And you're not able to, be what people want to perceive you to be. And especially in high school, you gotta be macho, like macho. It kind of just makes you wonder, and you just start doubting yourself, who you are and whatnot. And for me, it was very hard for me to like figure that out. I eventually did in the end, but those first that first year in high school was really difficult because I was struggling to, instead of being who I am, it was kind of like I was trying to be what everyone else wants me to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was a time where I was like, I don't know if I can live up to that. And that's when
That's awesome, man. I'm glad that sometimes you just got to go through those times. I do wish for a world where, we have younger cousins or our sons or whatever one day they could just go and be who the hell they are and not have pressure around it. They can just be who they are and just have fun and live and be kids, and not have to deal with that shit.
Absolutely. I think that's a thing that is extremely important. And, if you're staying true to that, like, there's nothing wrong with, there's nothing wrong with embracing who you are, and who cares what society thinks. And I feel like that's something, that I wish I would have embraced sooner. I mean, there's no time like the present, though, and I don't
Yeah.
think it's too late to embrace it.
Absolutely not. It's never too late. Sometimes we learn those lessons the hard way. And there are the few people who, there are the few people who are exactly who they were in high school. And we all shit. We all yeah. I will say I was never a bully, but like I definitely like would judge that kid. Like, what the fuck are you doing that weird shit? Maybe not never say it to them, but always thinking it. But also, but just like now, I'm just realizing like, yo, those are the ones who had the sauce. They knew the whole time.
It's weird how you like if you notice that, like, from the 2000s, yeah, it was very it's flipped on its head from then. 'Cause and like, this is a funny thing. Like, I saw this meme the other day that was literally saying, like, I never lose, and it was referenced like, see you later, sex haver. And I'm like, wow, we're really out here. Like, so it's really flipped on its head. That's an actual roast in 2024. It's
Having
hot.
sex.
So I'm like, okay, that is great. But yeah, it's crazy because like, those people really embrace it with who they are, and those are the people that, all these years later, you found out, like, huh, maybe they actually had the real confidence the whole entire goddamn time.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that normie is becoming more and more of a thing to not be a normie.
I love it.
I love it too. I love it too. So like more recent times, have you had any like mental or emotional health struggles that you've had to overcome or maybe are currently working through?
Yes, I think for me, it's like a reactionary thing that I'm trying to get better with, and something where I get emotional is I do really have a really bad habit of shutting down, and that's something that I've always struggled with. Because usually, when you don't want something to bother you just want it to go away. And and it's not and it's like when I tell people, whenever this happens or I have a contentious issue with someone, it's like, I'm not trying to shut you out, but I understand how it comes off as me shutting people out. It's isolation. And that's something I don't want to do. But I think the hard part of that is when you don't want, like, you want to be able to resolve something. But if the the if there's a person that's in that factor and that variable that you have to hash things out with, but they're also causing like some sort of discomfort, whether that be intentionally, you want the hurt to not hurt. Therefore, you're going to try to do everything to avoid it.
Yeah.
And that's someone who is not really, I'm not really a confrontational person. If it were up to me, I would rather just let things hash themselves out. But you know, sometimes you gotta be able to not be, you know, like maliciously, you know, confrontational, but just being able to come together and talk. And sometimes that's hard for me to do because, you know, you just don't want to deal with the hurt they may come with that talk. But, you know, after a while, once you do, you find that you feel better. But there are times where I very much feel like I shut down, and that's something I'm really working through because, you
Yeah.
know, that confrontation, I don't want that pain to be staring me at the face and having to face it straight up. And when you get into that situation, and this is something I learned through therapy, when I was in it, like I want to say 3 years ago, like, you know, we get into moments where we're very much emotionally compromised, and you're not operating at your full, you know, you're not operating at your full capability or faculty there because, you know, you're emotional. And when you're emotional, you're not gonna be thinking rationally. You're just gonna be doing everything you can to protect yourself.
Yeah, and a lot of times that includes like often saying some shit that you don't mean because
Exactly.
like you're trying to make them go away, you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
That can just
exactly.
come out.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel that it's crazy bringing this up. May I bring up an example of that? Because I think this is something that, you know, I recently went through. So I was seeing someone 3 years, not 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and you know, it got to a point where things weren't working out, and you know, I wanted to just, you know, be done with it and explain it, but they kept pushing me to a point to where they were driving me to get upset with them because usually I say I'm not opposed to talking, but right now I'm upset. This is not a good situation for anybody. I'd rather talk when cooler heads are here. But as I was trying to, you know, settle things, and it got to a point where I was trying to like get my stuff and leave, and they wouldn't let me leave their house. And I'm just like, listen, I'm not trying to like, and I don't like yelling. So I was pushed to a point because, oh, I want to solve this now. I'm like, I'm not in a good mental space to do that. Like, I don't like, if you're pushing me, then yeah, there are some things like, and I don't like yelling at people. That was the first, like this person I was like seeing for a while, and I told him this, like, I don't usually yell. I don't like yelling. I don't like shouting. I don't like doing that. But I was pushed to a point to where, again, emotionally compromised. I was upset. I wanted to get away. And at that point, you don't think logically. You're just thinking about how in the fuck can I get out of this as quickly as possible to show my point that I don't want to be here. And you know, you revert to things that you don't typically do.
Dude, it's that's everything. I love that the term emotionally compromised. It's I think that as a practice to especially just like I believe that we are all beings that have emotions, and it's like when you're in pushed into a point where you're made to be emotional, and it's not, you know, I think we're all in control of that, right? But like, you know, there's a point where, you know, I always want to take as much responsibility as possible. So if someone has pushed me to the point, I kind of reframe that as like, okay, I've allowed them to cross a boundary, and now it is my job to reinforce that boundary again. How do I get back to reinforcing that boundary? I don't fucking know. Maybe I should just leave and get my head right. You know, there's like so many like ways around it. And I do think, you know, when tempers are high, it's good to step away. One thing that I've done when I've been in you know, heated arguments with a partner is like, hey, like I think I need to be done with this right now, but we can talk in 3 hours. I'll give you a call, or we can reconvene tomorrow, but I think we really need to separate right now and, you know, pick this back up after we've had some time apart. Like I think like the creation of space, but also given the time frame of like, hey, let's check in around here. I promise we're going to check in around then, but right now this is not going to be productive. You know, I think that's been very powerful before for me.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. Like, you don't want to, like I said, both parties being like emotionally just off the rails is not healthy. And I think there's this thing where we want the problem solved now. And I'm just like,
Yeah.
no, that's just not possible. Like, having that instant gratification is everything. Like, we all crave that. I
We
think that's,
don't want it. Yep.
yeah, we all want it. That's natural. But like, I think the thing that is missed is like there's not a time for people to settle down and really have the time to really sit and think and really overall just, hash things out in a calm, cool manner instead of having it be this emotionally charged, irrational argument that can very well, it doesn't solve anything and in more cases make things worse than they already were when they didn't have to be made more difficult.
Yeah, I feel that, man. Well, thanks for sharing about that. I do think the topic of shutdown is something that a lot of guys will resonate with. I do think it is part of like not getting any like emotional like education, so to speak, like coming up and like being made to suppress emotions, like even being raised in a family full of women, like a lot of times we'd still hear like, oh, you gonna cry? Like, I'll give you something to cry about. And it's like,
Yeah,
oh
exactly.
shit, let me learn how to shut up real quick so I don't get my ass beat more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I there's so many people that I know are vibing with you sharing that. So thank you for sharing that so vulnerably.
Of course. I think it's just important, and there's nothing wrong with being able to open yourself up. I think
Yeah.
you need to do at some point, because if you don't, then you're just going to be holding in all a lot, and you're gonna look up and man, you're just gonna look back and it's like, I wish I would have, laid that out sooner. And you don't wanna,
Totally. And
right?
I know, I'm pretty sure it's important for you to be in a relationship one day with someone and it works out. And it's hard to be in a relationship when you are confronted with challenge and you are prone to shut down. You know, it's hard for that person to communicate with you. So I do think it's something that you're already like way ahead of the game, having awareness around it and it being something that you're trying to work on. That's just going to be, better for, a ton of things, your emotional expression overall, but definitely, that topic of conflict and relationship. No relationship will be free of it, and it's really good to be able to come, and ready to, I hate the word confront, but like be with your partner in times of stress and get through it together.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There will be like almost assuredly, like you just said, there are going to be times where that's going to happen, and you're just going to need to be one, just be prepared to like face it, and but face it in a way that's healthy for both of you. So I definitely agree.
Beautiful. Wrapping up here, a couple more questions for you. One, how has Pokemon specifically contributed to your happiness? Like, what really makes you happy about it?
I think just overall, just seeing how it's still a very relevant like topic in gaming and even in the anime to this day, like the like overall the phenomenon of the entire franchise is something that's something I can look back on even as I come back into it, and I'm not quite as big of the diehard that I am. That I was
You were, yeah.
rather back in like the 2000s. I think there's something to be said to see something that you grew up with and that was so instrumental to you, like, coming up. I think there's a joy in that. And I think it's always nice, like, whenever someone brings it up, or whenever, before I got back into it, whenever someone brings up, a game they're playing, I'm like, it's good to still seeing it do well. Even though it may not be for me anymore, I'm glad it's still doing well because,
Yeah.
it holds that special place in my childhood for, something that I really like came up and grew up with. So, I'm always gonna be, happy to see Pokemon thrive in any sort of fashion.
Hell yeah. What are you excited next about for Pokemon? Like, I know you're getting back into it. What are you excited to play around with?
I want to see them do more with the I really liked what they laid the groundwork was for the Arceus, I really liked how they did that, and it kind of reminded me of those old 3D games that I wanted to see them expand upon, like Gale of Dark, Pokemon XD Gale of Dark. It's a game that is not talked about enough, and I'm like, that I feel like that's a foundation, and I'm glad to see them, finally go back to that and kind of draw inspiration from it, and what they did for Arceus is cool. So I'm hoping in a way, because that was starting to show like a mix of this can be more than, just, turn-based combat. There is an open world aspect, and I think there's something to be said to like combine those elements and harmonize them. And if they're able to do that with like they did with Arceus, then I think they'll find some new blood in the franchise and going from there and just evolving it. So
Absolutely.
I think they have some newfound ideas after the success of Arceus, and and playing like, yeah, no, this is pretty cool.
Definitely. Yeah, a lot of people prefer Arceus to Scarlet Violet for sure. It's hard as a competitor as there was no competitive with it. But it was a blast. I had so much fun playing it. It's really funny. I still haven't beaten it. I'm on like the last two missions, which I will do. I promise. I've been saying that on the podcast and on the stream for like the last 6 months. I'm going to do it eventually and everyone's gonna cheer. But yeah,
There you go.
Arceus was lit, bro. And then finally, anything that you would say to any man that you know out there who might be struggling in whatever way, what would you say to support that man?
I always, tell people, be you. Like, don't be afraid to embrace who you are. And, I mean, there's so much pressure that's put onto us as men in general. And, it's like, how can I liken it to? Even though we don't want to be, I mean, sometimes you feel like you're getting penalized just for being a man. Sometimes, as you are a wrestling fan like me, you're just the biggest heel for no reason. You're just like, what do I do? But I think it's just to embrace who you are and don't be afraid to be in touch with your emotions, how you're able to process things. Like, it may not be what society deems, but I think if you're able to be that in tune with yourself and really just have that awareness, emotional awareness, and harness it and really embrace, like, this is me, this is who I am. As someone like I said, I never used to, the amount of graphic tees that is nerd related I have now is more than I ever had as a kid. So people, yeah, this is just my base outfit. I am a fully kitted weeb. This is how I live. Have a Naruto headband that I wear just on the usual in the summer. Like, hey, be you. Embrace that. There's something special to be said when you're able to embrace yourself, love who you are as a person, but also don't be so enamored. Have room for growth. If I mean, there's a reason why people continue to be great, but they still want to be better. And that's something I feel like everyone needs to realize. Yeah, you're good, but always focus on that progression. If you always have the openness to grow and realize there's always that capacity to grow, you're going to be amazed at what you're able to accomplish in relationships, in your career, in everyday interactions. If you realize you have that capacity always, like, it never goes away. You always have that capacity to grow. And if you realize that, life becomes a little bit more fulfilling in ways that you don't even think about. So,
Yes, dude, I had to say, I am just endlessly proud of you. And I have my men's group every Friday, and we had a guy leave, and I told him like I was not worried about him not one bit in terms of him being okay without the support of the group, And I want to spend more time with you and talk to you more, of course, but like I don't worry about you because you are so solid, bro. Just the perfect image of the man I always thought you'd grow into, and it's just super cool to see. And I just want to say what I really loved about your supportive statement there was the BU part, and I think It's really important for a lot of us to realize that, or I'll share my opinion on this anyways, that I look out and I see so much stress on people, and a lot of times it's just a lot of it is them not being who they are. Sometimes they're not accepting their truth. You know, that truth could be, hey, I have this mental health thing and I need to get support in it. You know, their truth could be, oh, I'm really worried about finances. I wish I would ask someone for help and maybe I could get out of this hole. You know, the truth could be, hey, I'm of this sexual orientation and I'm the only person who knows it. I can only be with the actual person I love in secret. Like, the list goes on. You know, so much pain and suffering comes from just not being who you are. And I know there's a lot of nuance to that, you know, where is it safe to be who you are? But yeah, the more we can focus on and finding the spaces where we can do that, I think the happier everyone's going to be.
Absolutely. I want, and there's something to be said for that. Like, you want to be able to just be comfortable, like, you know, and it's always been for me, like, just like, I just don't be an asshole. That's
Yeah,
really
and
what it boils
that's another important piece too.
down to. So if you're not an asshole, then more often than not, no one will care about any of those arbitrary factors, you know. Just
Yes.
be a good person. It's not that hard. It's free. It doesn't cost you any money. It's pretty. And, you know, just be a good person.
Mic drop. Jack, I really appreciate you, man. So much wisdom, and just so much love for you, man. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being one of the best friends that I ever had in my entire childhood, and thanks for loving me, dude. I love you.
Oh, I love you too, man. You've been a beacon of light for me growing up. All those times, you know, going over to your mom's and, you know, gaming until late and, you know, a fond memory
For
already.
days.
Hey, yeah, I remember when MGS4 came out and we marathoned that thing for 3 straight days on no sleep.
Was
So
so good.
it was so good. I love that game. But yeah, man, you were, you know, like I said, one of the only male figures I had growing up, and I think, you know, seeing the man you become and overall just, you know, using this platform for good. Because like I said, I think there's not a lot of people who can be seen as, you know, a nerd but still be seen as athletic and whatnot. And you know, you were one of the very first people that showed me that. And you know, growing up, you know, and even now I say, like, how can you be a weeb but also love sports, but you also like wrestling and you also like this. And I was like, you know, I don't think it's weird, but you know, it's cool to see. I think you laid that foundation out for me, and the more I see that and out in everyday life, it's cool to see, because I, you know, I think of you and I say, yeah, that's how it did. That's all how it started. So, you know,
Hey,
thank you. I appreciate you, and you know, I love you.
amen. I love you. That's the goal. That's the goal. Let's keep on working hard and inspiring the masses.
Hey, that's what I try to do. That's what I try to do. I'm like, I'm your fellow weeb. Let's hash it out. Let's talk. You want to talk about Final Fantasy? Let's talk about Final Fantasy. You want to talk about how the Bears continue to disappoint me? We can talk about that too. I am, I, we're all here.
We're all here. All right, Jack. Thanks so much for joining me, brother.
No problem. Thanks for having me. We'd love to come on again.
All right, one day, bro. One day. I'll see
All
ya.
right. See ya.
Man, it is so cool to be just reflecting on that conversation with my cousin Jack and to, you know, kind of see a person that you always saw as just like really kiddie compared to you, you know, like a kid, you know, see him grow up while I'm growing up, but always think that he's kind of behind, right? And I get to a level where I'm comfortable with myself and I'm like doing my thing and I'm free in the world, just like figuring it out. And to see him kind of transition from like all these places I was to just kind of being his own man and figuring out life and you know, doing it in a way that makes him really happy is something that just warms my heart. And I love you know, continuing to make these connections with Pokemon fans, whether more casual or rather like world-class competitor. So having fun with it. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. As always, share this podcast with someone who you might think might get some inspiration from it. And looking forward to seeing you all next week. Talk soon.